You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Make it stop.
And you know where I live.
Please. Painful. Welcome to the tribal headquarters. The Tribal Combat Operations Center. Painful week. Slept like shit last night, as is my custom, but it was even shittier than normal. Yeah, so when I notice that, like, I'm sleeping like shit, yeah, think about it. That straight up sucks. I will tell you this though, and I'm gonna provide a little inspiration today. In an otherwise, what I would tell you would be bleak week for the democracy. With a president, in my opinion, who doesn't get it. And a lot of times the fact that he doesn't get it, is masked by, you know, when he stays embroiled in domestic political stuff, that's fine. You can mask it even when, you know, his quite right attacks on NATO, you know, handing it to Theresa May, because of the way she was trying to exit Brexit. All that political stuff is fine. What's not fine is when I think he embarrasses the nation in front of the world with one of the world's great dictators standing next to him. Makes the country look bad, makes himself look imbecilic. And then he doubles down on it, right? Then he clarifies that. Then he triples down on it, and he clarifies that. It's like, it bothers me. It bothers me. So, thank God the week's coming to an end, for God's sakes. Anyway, however, yesterday, as I was, my daily ritual is, you get up and you do the show, right? And then after the show, arguably the more difficult work begins because you gotta edit, you gotta write, you gotta put everything on the website, right? You gotta create the product that people that don't listen live hear. So you do that and that takes several hours to do. The drudgery. So, anyway, In the course of doing that, and I played a little bit of it last year when I believe, who was on it? Was Kelly on it? Kelly might have been at it, the Aspen Security Conference. That's when Kelly said, called the guy a nerd. Yeah, which is very, very funny. And I want to say the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was there. Joe Dunford was there. And I think I played some of his. So anyway, I'm sitting here working. And Dan Coats is speaking at that thing. And I see it on my monitor. And so they cut to, you know, I don't know, a few minutes of it. But me, being who I am, I'm like, I think I'd like to listen to that, the whole thing. So, boom, I Google it, and they're streaming it live. Yeah, because they do that stuff. So I go ahead, and I bomb over to the live feed, and lo and behold. So I watch it, and it made me feel good. Made me feel good about being, I don't know, an American. It made me feel better about our democracy and the sorry ass state that it comes to us in. It seems like on a daily basis. If it's not the president doing something imbecilic, it is somebody else doing something imbecilic. So I watched that, and I found my little heart, like, you know, you know, it was like flittering, you know, like E.T. when he comes back alive after he was down in the river. Yeah, like that. And I was like, Dan Coats, man, what a great American, two-time senator. And, you know, and to hear him talk about, you know, the intelligence threats. And Andrea Mitchell is doing the interview. So at the first part of the interview, you know, you can tell she's trying to drag him into political shit. And he's answering the questions. But it's not really, you know, I think if he wanted to talk about politics, he would have stayed as a senator. So, but I found it. Incredibly interesting. The director of the FBI was the subject of an hour. And so what it is, it's a series of hour seminars and discussions, you know, with pretty high-level people. So you're going to hear that today. I'm not sure what's going on. Oh... want to give a shout out to my number one daughter. Hey, Colleen, shut your phone off. You know, 14 and not very smart. It's not a good way to go through life, I'm telling you. Because everybody knows I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. So, anywho, yeah, the chef isn't going to be here today because of his health issues. He told me that he would be back. And he would be back. And so, next Friday. So, we'll wait for that. But in the meantime, a little inspiration. Dan Coats today. There's a press conference going on in Branson, Missouri. An amphibious vehicle developed during World War II, capsized. And so if you've been paying attention to the news throughout the course of your night last night, if you have the AP app on your phone, you saw the updates on it. But here's a little bit of it.
To decide.
This is a very large storm system that came from the north.
I do not have any idea.
Sure. Were two of the owners the survivors?
I'm sorry?
Were two of the owners the survivors?
Owners?
The owners, the operators?
They were not owners. There was a captain and a driver that was on the boat.
Are they survivors?
The captain did survive.
Did they the driver not survive?
No, ma'am.
What can you tell us about the victim?
As far as?
Age range.
Right now, we're still working with families and making notifications, so at this time, I'm not giving that information out.
What time
did you get the first call came into our 911 center at 7:09 p.m. I'm sorry? All I know is the first call came into Central about the boat going underwater.
Do we know if they tried to retrieve any safety measures, either life jackets or anything of the sort?
I do not know.
What do you know about the life jackets? What do you know about the life jackets to begin with? Were they on the boat? Where were they on the dock?
If you're familiar with the military at all and the Navy Marine Corps, you've probably seen these duck vehicles. I think the SEALs still use them off the coast of California when they're doing stuff in the surf. The Navy, I think, still uses some of them, but 13 people reported dead last night when one of them capsized. I believe the sheriff.
I think it's going to take time to know the details of everything that's occurred. The sheriff, the highway patrol, a lot of people involved trying to...
This is the governor of Missouri, Mike Parsons.
This morning. It's going to take some time to really be able to answer those questions on that. We don't know what the status of all the events yet. That's still under investigation. Until that investigation is completed, I don't think it's my place or anyone's place to speculate all the things that could have happened or why they happened. I think it's important that we find out for sure exactly what events did occur and then be able to release that at some point. And that will happen eventually, but today it's just still early. And the sheriff and his people and all the people behind me that's been working, they've been up on this thing for a long time, and it's just a matter of bringing all these details together. At a point, that will happen.
Is the lake open to the public right now?
I'm sorry?
Is the lake open to the public right now?
Yes, lake is open to the public. Yes, sir.
Can you talk about this all happening instantaneously? Some of the heroism that happened there on the lake when this tugboat went down. People stepped in to save those people in the lake.
From what I understand, I had a Stone County deputy that was on the Branson Bell doing off-duty security. He was involved in the rescue. There was employees of the Branson Bell that jumped in and helped with rescue, and there was even passengers that was getting on the Branson Bell assisted in rescuing people.
That's going on. That's going on this morning. So what we'll do today is we will check the news. We will check, and then you'll listen to Dan Coates. I'll tell you what, there was another hour in that summit, and it talked about the Middle East had former, State Department, employees or appointees. You had guys, the UAE's ambassador to the United States was there. His comments, very interesting. There's actual videotape of the incident. And, yesterday, in fact, it's interesting, in Iowa, there was tornadic activity reported. And so Missouri must have got some spillover. And these boats, I don't know if they were caught out in that and got to them unexpectedly, because there's a reason you don't hear of these events. And that is, the operators keeping an eye on the weather. The weather now is so easy to keep track of. There's almost no excuse for it unless something comes out of nowhere. And so I guess that'll be what happens in terms of forensics. But the videotape, there's evidently a riverboat paddle wheel kind of a thing that's fairly large. And people were taking video from that as that thing was either swamped or capsized. It's an enclosed. If you haven't seen the pictures of it, they're enclosed. So the duck vehicles that we're familiar with, are wheeled vehicles, propeller, I believe, in the back, and you simply drive them into the water. They go from the sand, and they drive straight into the water. These have had an enclosure put around them, so I guess people could be trapped inside of that. Anyway, brutal news overnight. So we're going to do an endeavor to provide a little inspiration. You'll hear Dan Coates today. And I would tell you, you know, don't say, oh, well, you know, not the chef or whatever, and go click. You'll find it not only interesting. Now, he's the director of national intelligence. So all of our intelligence apparatus pyramid to Dan Coates. And so you'll hear a very interesting discussion from him in long format with Andrea Mitchell of NBC News. And once they get through the political stuff, that's a little bit painful at first. Because she's constantly trying to kind of bait him into making a statement critical of the president, which clearly would not have been difficult to do this week. But anyway, Coates is an astute public servant, and he stays in his lane, and he's funny. And I think a lot of people saw the quote yesterday when, during the interview, the White House at some point tweeted that that Vladimir Putin was going to be invited to the United States. And so Andrea Mitchell asked him about it. And I think most people, if you watched the news last night, you saw Coates' attempt to use humor to kind of get through the answer of the question. But it was humorous. Honestly, it was humorous. So you'll hear that today. But what I got out of it, my takeaway from it, was it made me feel better. It made me feel better because guys like Dan Coates make the nation better. And it is, you know, I talk about what you see on the news. That's not America. That's a Jerry Springer version, you know, clickbait to try to get ratings. America's got great people in it. That's why it's the greatest nation on the planet. It's why our economy, given our size, is what it is, right? You have nations like Russia. You have nations like China. And then you have the American economy that's just this beast. You have the American standard of living. You have the American judicial system. You have the American industrial system, our respect for intellectual property, all of that. Well, that doesn't get built without incredible people. Yeah, that's not what we see. All we see is not just what divides us, but what divides us animately. And it's kind of interesting that one of the things that you'll hear is a discussion about what the Russians try to do with their ongoing, I'm trying to think of the phrase that the director of the FBI used. Pretty funny. Not, it wasn't pretty funny. Coates was funny. They ran into each other. And I think he told Chris Ray, hey, I saw your hour. He said, it's very good. And Ray said, yeah, well, I watched you last week and something else, and I just copied what you said, which is pretty funny. So anyway, but I came away heartened and happy after watching Dan Coates. As I said, the other forum about the Middle East, very interesting. Very interesting. What Middle Eastern countries are what they want from the United States. The ambassador, the UAE ambassador, made some really interesting points. What does it say when the Prime Minister of Israel has made more visits to Moscow than to the United States discussing the future of Israel? What does it say when the King of Jordan goes to Moscow instead of Washington, D.C.? So interesting stuff. And the question he posed is that, hey, you have to decide whether you want to be the leader of the free world. If you want out of that, it has implications for all of us. And it's not just Iranian nuclear activity. This is from the guy from the UAE. He said, is that a concern? Yes. You know how much of a concern it is for us? About 10%. The rest of it is Iranian influence in the region that comes with missiles, that comes with their army, and it seems to have no end. He said, look, there's been over 124 missiles. I can't remember what the number was. He says there's over X number of missiles that have been fired into Saudi Arabia from Yemen. He said, I'll tell you what, the Yemenis didn't build those. The Yemenis didn't import those. Right? Somebody else did, and it's the Iranians. So America's got to decide what it wants to be in the world order. And so it's a very, very interesting, very, very interesting dialogue. So I don't know. Maybe you'll hear a little bit of that next week. But I thought it was great stuff. So on a Friday, on a chefless Friday, I've got some email I want to get to. People took the time to write, so I need to read it. So good morning to you. The national anthem comes from the sadly departed Whitney Houston, and we did that on Friday. Good morning to you. Whitney Houston, sad story, but a great rendition of the national anthem. The this is dedicated to Dan Coats and other silent, kind of quiet professionals that have been dedicated to our nation for a long time. They don't get nearly the credit they deserve or the focus of the media, except when something goes extremely wrong. So God bless what they do. God bless their dedication. And the nation doesn't exist or operate without it. So, dedicated to him.
Our flag comes through to every dream. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You gotta win.
All right, the weather, excuse me, around Marine Line. Sunny and 78 in Quantico. A couple weather advisories. Mostly cloudy and 80 at Camp Lejeune. Texas suffering, I saw last night. Setting all-time heat records in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Yeah, I guess he's just a little bit south of that. The Prince. Prince Musselman the first. Mostly sunny, 91 degrees in Grand Prairie, Texas. Sun is 66 up in Big Timber, Montana. Mostly sunny in 84 in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 69, normal. Okinawa, raining, dark, 81 degrees in Okinawa with some storm advisories. Marja, steady state, 106 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan at the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy in 70. Looking for a high of 80 degrees with partly sunny skies, which means it's going to be completely sunny. I don't know who writes this shit. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 81. And then on Sunday, sunny and 83. That is a look at your weather. My daughter's birth. Catherine was born in 29 Palms. Yeah. John was 6, Patrick was 3, so Colleen's, Mike's wife Susan is pregnant, and all of a sudden, it's go time, so we're getting the boys ready, it's our third kid, so we got their bags packed and stuff like that. We had made arrangement with some friends, a tanker by the name of Rob McCleary, that's right, Rob and Amy. They were at Fort Knox. I think he was in a class ahead of me, but we became friends with them. They had kids. Our kids played together, blah, 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 blah. So getting the boys ready, Susan goes through labor pretty quick. When I say pretty quick, I mean pretty quick. I mean a couple hours. Like some people. So for those of you that don't know labor, like I know labor, because I am, among other things, a great labor coach. That's right. I've got the ribbon. I've got the labor ribbon with 3 combat Vs on it. So, anywho, getting all that ready, and Susan's going through what's known as transitional labor. That means we're going to go from, I don't know, I wonder what the definition of transitional labor is. Anyway, it's where labor gets extremely difficult, okay? Transitional labor, childbirth. All right, so we're going to see. The first stage of labor is the longest and involves three phases. Early labor phase, the time of the onset of labor, until the cervix is dilated to about 3 centimeters. Active labor phase continues from 3 centimeters until the cervix is dilated to 7 centimeters. Transition phase continues from 7 centimeters until the cervix is fully dilated to 10. Okay, so this is based on my medical observations as a father. Transition labor is when shit just got real. Anyway, I hate that phrase. It's a little bit overused. My sons love to use it. Anyhow, so Susan's sitting on the couch, right, kind of with her hips towards the edge of the couch, and, you know, she's doing her breathing, and then she's starting to sit up, and she says, could you go get me a bucket? And I said, yeah. So I run and get a bucket. I'm finishing getting their stuff ready, throwing in the car. I come in for the car. Susan's on a knee. She's getting ready to puke in the bucket. Patrick's 3, right? He's standing next to her, looking at her. Mom, are you okay? Are you okay? Is the baby coming? Are you going to bring the baby home tonight? Susan looks at him and says, if you don't get away from me, I'm going to kill you. Patrick just looks at her. And with that, she puked. Blah, right into the bucket. And I'm watching. Yeah, right? That's guy appreciation, right? I am so happy that I don't go through it. But as I, you know, but I would like to actually have a baby just so I could put an end to, oh, if men had babies, blah, 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 blah. Because I could say, oh, hold on, girlfriend. I've had a baby. Yeah. So dial that one back. I've got the merit badge. Yeah. That one's so old and tired. Oh, if men had babies. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, I had one. Yeah. First man in the history of the world to have a baby. Me. Moi. Dial it down. Just stop. So we drop the boys off, right? And we're driving from the housing area, the officer housing, on aboard 29 Palms to the brand new hospital, right? So officer, company grade officer housing was out by the golf course. So if you're on your way to Camp Wilson, out where we do, you know, we live when we go out to do expeditionary stuff. So if you're on your way out there, you know, Bailey Street and all the rest of them are up on the left-hand side. So I'm driving and we're talking, blah, 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 blah. And she looks at me, she goes, can you fucking drive a little faster? She goes, I know you're enjoying this, but really? I said, there's speed laws here. She's like, don't even go there. So we get to the hospital. Hospital's brand new. Interestingly enough, our grandson born on the same floor, I think a few doors down from where Catherine was born. So we get there, and as maternity wards do, oh, how's everything? How's mom? Mom's getting ready to puke on your floor, except she puked most of it up already. They're like, oh, really? Then they're like, honey, are you in transitional labor? So you do the pre-check-in, right, and all that stuff, so they check in your room. And so all that's been done. And so Susan's doing her breathing stuff, right, and the doctor says, is this your first? Like, no, it's the third one. And if I could give you some advice based on how fast number two came, if you don't get a doctor here, in the next 10 minutes, this baby's going to be on the floor right there. And she's like, oh, Dad. Okay, so nurse puts on her glove to see how much Susan's dilated, how far Susan dilated. And the look on her face, Susan's like, 9, right? That means you can push. And so the nurse says, oh, Susan, you're at 9. You don't push. The doctor's not here. And she's like, you have to get the doctor here. And I look at the nurse like, I told you, get that dumbass doctor. They don't, come on, where do they live? They live on base. So the doctor comes in, Catherine's born, boom, no fuss, no muss. The express ticket, that's right, 25 years ago this evening. There you go. Catherine Maureen McNamara took her home. Boys loved her. Awesome. So, I am a good labor coach. That one was easy though. And, you know, Susan's mother had 8 kids. So, one of the problems that mental problems was with our kids, other than John, who took, I want to say we're there like 8 hours, but Patrick, quick, you know. Patrick would have been born on the Beltway. No, I kid you not. Patrick would have been delivered on the Beltway in Washington D.C. I was stationed in Quantico. We were having the baby at Bethesda. I'm not exactly sure why. And she went into labor, I want to say at something like 4 or 5 in the morning on November 10th, 1989. And that was the weekend that Labor Day, Veterans Day, was being celebrated. If it had been a normal traffic day, Patrick Bourne in the Nissan Black Pathfinder, that's what it would have been, brand new, would have been annihilated the upholstery in my new, in our beautiful new car. But God was watching over us, and so we got to Bethesda in time. So, yeah, labor coach, Mac. That stuff goes really fast, too. It goes really fast. And it changed so much between 16 years difference between our first and Colleen, between John and Colleen. And, you know, by the time we had Colleen, like birthing rooms, you know, you take the babies delivered and, you know, have to wait and blah, 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 put it back on the mom, you know. So, yeah, I always thought, you know, it's always a very interesting event. I know some guys didn't enjoy it. I did. I was, like, being in there for, like, Wild Kingdom. Kids being born, man. You see shit in there, like, that you, like, never seen. I remember, I think it was it the first? No, it was Patrick. Doctor's like, you want to see the baby? And he's like, come on, let me check under the hood. And I was like, where? What? Huh? Yeah, you can see his head. I can. It's like, I see blood and different stuff. I don't see the head of a baby. It's like, well, he's down there. Heartbeat's fine. He's in no duress. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right. Do we know if it's a boy or girl? No. We did not do any tests. So that was in the days of amniocentesis. And they used to tell you, well, there's a slight chance of an infection. Yeah, we don't need that. We'll be surprised. We're okay with it. Now, ultrasound, they go looking for a weenie. That's right. Hey, it's a boy. Congratulations. Or it's a girl. So, anyway, yeah, happy birthday. Catherine Maureen McNamara, 25 years ago tonight. I don't know, 10:14 or something like that. There you have it. So, Catherine. Big day. Check the news headlines. Oh, I want to talk about the president for a second and my disappointment with him this week. It's interesting. You know, when the president does ridiculous stuff, and I don't mean his rough and tumble political style, which I'm okay with, but when he missteps on the world stage and I think embarrasses the nation, which I think he did this week, because of how do I phrase it? His ineptitude in Finland. How they did not prepare for that press conference is beyond me. And again, my instinct is that they did, and he just screwed it up. Right? Him trying to be smarter than everybody else doesn't work when everybody knows the facts. okay? So anyway, I think he made a fool of himself in Helsinki. He doubles down on it by doing something during the press conference, which is absolutely stupid. And we talked about it when he said, when that day, he's made this great offer, yeah, that we would turn over our evidence to them and they'll evaluate it. And then on the heels of that, Putin announces that, yeah, the Americans said that, you know, they at least discuss the idea of turning over Americans that we want to question. Okay, so let me, and then he extolled it as a great idea in the press conference. Like, dude, are you kidding me? Stop it. So anyway, he does stuff like that. And then the media, who hates him already, right, they smell blood in the water, okay, his blood in the water. So they go on a feeding frenzy. He calls it then, at the end of the week, Trump derangement syndrome. I think that the normal day-to-day stuff is Trump derangement syndrome, and I don't disagree with that, you know. There's people in the media that hate his guts. They think he's horrible for the nation. Blah, 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 blah. And no matter what he does, they assault him on a daily basis. However, when he performs poorly, running out Trump derangement syndrome as a reason why the media is reacting so negatively is Trump being deranged, okay? It's TBD syndrome, not TDS syndrome. Trump being deranged. And you look at it, and that's why the truth's important. That's why when the media compromises itself and we don't have a Walter Cronkite and we don't have a Tim Russert to point out, you know, important events, that is our president performing poorly in his job, right, on a world stage where we need to lead. Like, all right, all the rest is garbage, but, right, you got to do what's right in that press conference. And he absolutely positively tanked it. He came home. He doubled down on the stupidity. And then the following day, and let me tell you, there's no way I believe that he was saying, no, 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 he didn't want to answer questions. Okay? I don't believe that for one second. I believe he stepped in it yet again. And why he does it, I don't know. I don't know. Why does he have such a difficult time with that? I'll tell you what, I'm now uncomfortable with all of that. Mac officially in the uncomfortable category. What happened this week to him? And you can't lay it forever on, well, he thinks that Russian interference equals collusion, equals, or Russian interference means that his election's illegitimate. It's a historical fact that they tried to intervene in all of our elections, right? The effect on that, given the tsunami of news, give me a break. Oh, somebody's going to point to, oh, that. What's interesting in that whole discussion is, you know, and you'll hear this in Director Coates' statement and in his little thing that you'll hear in a little bit. And you also hear it by the director of the FBI. What they seek to do is sow animus on issues in which the nation is divided. I think that's poorly articulated. What they seek to do is amplify the animus that is already there, right? They're not manufacturing conflict, okay, the Russians. They're simply attempting to pour gas on the intolerant way that we do discourse in this country. And again, that is fanned by our own media. So if you look at their dry erase board when they're mapping this out, it's like, you know what? We're going to be a small player in this, but what we seek to do is on key issues at key times, right, dump additional highly combustive fuel onto an already huge, huge fire. Okay? And so the fire is fueled by two political parties that are now willing to burn it down on each other and don't compromise. Okay? So the conciliatory tone that used to be part of regular business in Washington, D.C., that, along with Elvis, has left the building. On top of that, you have a media that doesn't have Walter Cronkite anymore, newsmen like him. You have news presenters, and they front for organizations that cater to very specific clienteles, and what they do is they do a slicked-up version of the Jerry Springer Show. So you have the origin of this is what goes on in Washington, D.C. Layer on top of that an uncivil discourse among politicians. Layer on top of that, that uncivil discourse is cherry-picked every day for the worst moments to put on TV and then spun in the direction of two different news leanings. All we're going to do is we're just going to enhance what's already there. It will be one of the easiest things we do. Right? We will generate fake accounts. We will then post by our bots and other things that we have. We will then we'll pile on at certain critical moments to make the argument even more hysterical. That's not very difficult for the Russians. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that you'll find interesting, that I found extremely interesting in the whole Dan Coats thing, was he talks about, he was elected to the Senate twice, and he talks about the difference in the environment that he got elected into serve on those two separate occasions. Very, 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 very interesting. Very interesting. I'm just reminded by a picture I just saw. Another piece of news, non-military type. We'll get to the DOD news here in a second. But the National Football League, yesterday, I think it was the Miami Dolphins announced that they, 4-game suspension if you come out, you're not supposed to protest any protest, blah, 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 blah. The NFL said, whoa, wait a minute. And the NFL and the NFL Players Association said, wait a minute. We're working on something. We're working on something. So I hope that they solve their issue. And the NFL, one of the worst business organizations I've ever seen in my life. How they have allowed this issue after committing $90 million to continue. What did you commit the $90 million for? Social causes. That was supposed to make this shit go away. But it didn't. That means you're stupid. All right, few headlines. Ever heard of deep fake technology? Phony audio and video technology could be used to blackmail U.S. troops. The ability to distort the truth is expected to reach new heights with the development of so-called deep fake technology, manufactured audio recordings and video footage that could fool even digital forensic experts. So that coming to a theater near you. All right. Here's an interesting story. Don't even think about it. North Carolina Marines told not to feed alligator prowling near the barracks. Marines are usually service members conducting amphibious operations. However, recent reptilian landings prompted officials to send warnings to Marines. Don't feed the alligators. Like, are you kidding me? An American alligator was seen close enough to the Schmidt Street Barracks at Marine Corps Air Station New River in Jacksonville, North Carolina, to prompt local officials to re-educate the community on the potential danger of these creatures. Yeah. Alligators, At the zoo, man. Feed them at the zoo. Head of General Votel. Everybody remember him, right? U.S. military component of a reported agreement on Syria struck between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin would likely require congressional approval or a waiver, the head of the U.S. Central Command said on Thursday. Few details have come out of a private Trump-Putin meeting where only the two leaders and their interpreters were reported to be in the room. However, the Russian ambassador to the United States, Anatoly Antonov, told Russian television on Wednesday that important verbal agreements were made. General Votel, we have received no specific direction at this point. The president was scheduled to have lunch with Defense Secretary Jim Mattis yesterday and meet later in the day with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Again, shit show stuff, right? You have Donald Trump negotiating for the United States relative to Syria? Good God, right? God help us. So that we can, so Russia can guarantee our exit from Syria, and we don't believe that Syria is going to be handed to the Iranians. Man, if you're dumb enough to make that deal, you shouldn't be the president of the United States. I'll say that right now. A couple other stories. Another story. White House invites Putin to Washington for a fall meeting. I think most of you are aware of that. Some of you may have seen this. Some of you may not have seen this. And that is the guy who the movie Good Morning Vietnam was based on, whose actual name is Adrian Cronauer, right, as it was in the movie, passed away at the age of 79. He was an Air Force sergeant during his Vietnam days and a disc jockey with Armed Forces Radio. Cronauer began his early morning show entitled Dawn Buster with the iconic words, Good Morning, Vietnam. It was made famous by the movie in which Robin Williams portrayed Cronauer. In the movie, Cronauer was portrayed by Robin Williams. The story goes he was befriended by a Vietnamese boy who turned out to be a Viet Cong terrorist. And he is forced to leave Vietnam before his tour is over. None of that actually happened. Even so, Cronauer told Military Times in 2014 that he enjoyed Robin Williams' performance. Quote, it was never intended to be a point-by-point accurate biography, Cronauer told Military Times. It was intended to be a piece of entertainment, and it certainly was that. It was nominated for an Academy Award, and you don't get much better than that. I'll see if I can find the audio, his actual, Adrian Cronauer's actual Good Morning Vietnam, Robin Williams impersonated, did so well. I heard it yesterday someplace, and it's a little bit of history that we military history that became part of popular culture with Adrian Cronauer passed away. I believe this is it right here. We'll see if I can play something without an advertisement. Oh, maybe. Who knew?
Vietnam. It's just smidgen past 6:05, and here we go with another day's version of the Dawn Buster Show from Armed Forces Radio. I'm Airman Adrian Cronauer, and for the next 4 hours, we've got the best in popular music for you here, so let's get started right now with music.
No Nowhere to Run To, baby, by Martha Reeves of the Vandellas. Yeah, how about that? Old Mac knows his Motown. So Adrian Kronauer passed away yesterday. There's one other thing I wanted to mention. I forgot. Anyway, the early bird. And then there's some email I got to get to. Top five stories. One, Justice Department plans to alert public to foreign operations targeting U.S. democracy. So that stuff's going to get, in my opinion, the only way to combat it is to consistently out it in a very, very public way. So we'll see how successful the Justice Department can be. The Justice Department plans to alert the public to foreign operations targeting U.S. democracy under a new policy designed to counter hacking and disinformation campaigns such as the one Russia undertook in 2016 to disrupt the presidential election. It's going to be interesting. Two, ever heard of deepfake technology? So, anyway, the ability to manipulate audio and video, digital stuff, so that you can't tell the difference. We talked about that. That's pretty scary stuff. Three, Russia threatens negative consequences over marine exercise with the Ukraine in the Black Sea. And see, this is where, you know, if you're going to take any solace from what happens with the president, if you watch his actions, you know, it's really the worst thing that our government does right now is his involvement. Right. If you look at our policies around the world, you know, for the first time, like, we squared up with the Chinese and stopped giving them everything that they want, and we stopped looking the other way. Okay? I think that's a good thing. I think that our no-nonsense approach with NATO, I think that's a good thing. NATO is going to a better place because of the NATO countries being called out. Okay? I think what we're doing with North Korea, good. So I think our policies are good. What we're doing in Eastern Europe is good and necessary. But what does the president say about Montenegro? Oh, we're gonna start World War III for Montenegro? Look, they're a member, right? They've gone to Afghanistan when the only time that NATO invoked Article 5. So if they're part of the alliance and they're threatened by Russia, right, if that's where Russia wants World War III to start, then so be it. If the alliance is strong, guess what? There won't be World War III. Trust me. No matter what Vladimir Putin says. So, the Marine Corps has been bouncing all over Europe the past several months, participating in exercises with allies and vowing to boost its presence in Norway to strengthen cold weather training, moves that have caught the ire of Russia. And this time, Russia is aghast over a recent U.S. land and maritime exercise in the Black Sea region that kicked off on July 9th, which involved roughly 50 U.S. Marines and hundreds of sailors. The training took place near the Russian annexed Crimea and contested areas in eastern Ukraine, where Russian-backed separatists have been fighting the Ukrainian government since 2014. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman Maria Zakharova, at a July 12th Moscow briefing, warned of possible consequences over the exercise and described the training evolution as tension-provoking and potentially destabilizing in the southeastern Ukraine and the Black Sea. Quote, military activities will take place in direct proximity to the conflict zone in southeastern Ukraine, where the Ukrainian military units continue to shell peaceful Donbas cities every day despite a bread truce announced on July 1 by the Minsk Contact Group, Zakharova said. Attempts to flex muscles in these conditions will hardly help to stabilize the situation in the region. A small Marine contingent, Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment, based out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, participated in the 18th iteration of sea exercise called Sea Breeze, where they integrated with the Ukrainian military aboard the Sakhalin Range north of Mykolaiv, Ukraine. There you go. I like that stuff. Anytime you could flick the nose of the Russians or the Chinese, I'm all about it. Number four story is the voice of Good Morning America. Adrian Kronauer dies at the age of 79. So we've talked about that. God bless him. Number five, Trump's America First policy could leave U.S. defense industry behind. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, should I do email? This one's entitled Our Country. Hi, Mac. What's happening to our country when things like this happen? And then he attaches an article with the headline of Memorial Honoring Navy SEAL from Long Island is vandalized. And the memorial is that of Lieutenant Michael Murphy. He's a Medal of Honor recipient from Afghanistan. It was smashed. Good question. What is happening to a country that doesn't respect anything? Another one. I'm happy to see the Navy has their priorities in order. You can't make this bullshit up. And here's the story is a hairy issue. Sailors tell the U.S. Navy, we want beards. And a picture of a bearded sailor. They used to have beards in the Navy for whatever reason back in the 19th century. They want their beards back. Yeah, how can we deprive them of their beards? I mean, seriously. They want their beards? This is from Ohio Man, who's a conservative. While the media narrative is all about Russia meddling again, all we have been told is what they did. One, fake Facebook profiles with inflammatory posts. Two, hacked the DNC and exposed John Podesta, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, among others, and the dirty, underhanded shit they did. Why isn't there more discussions by the talking heads about what was exposed? Could it be that they are okay with the dirty, underhanded shit as long as their candidate wins? As I believe the intel agencies, we know Russia did the hacking. But do we know for a fact they were the source of the WikiLeaks exposures? Assange has repeatedly denied that his source was Russia. I'm not sure that you take Assange at his word. It has widely been discussed that the download speeds rule out anything over the internet. It has to be a thumb drive. There may be, and most likely is, so much more nastier, shocking stuff out there. Don't let the issue concerning the Pakistani brothers that were doing IT work for the DNC fall under the radar. They were arrested while attempting to flee the country. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is doing her best to keep a lid on the investigation to the point of threatening, I saw the video, the investigating authority, Capitol Police, I believe. There's a lot of smoke here. Word is that Lisa Page is being a much more candid than Strzok, the weasel, was. Yeah, but what does this have to do with the president being an idiot? You know? I don't know that I disagree with all that. And let me tell you this. What do you think would happen if somebody on the Republican side had clicked on the email Podesta did and which got the Russians access in the first place? What do you think if they had targeted the Republicans and they had got that kind of access? Do you think they would not have used that stuff? So when it says that they were lined up to help Hillary Clinton, was that a matter of what they had access to, and they didn't have access to that on the Republican side? I haven't seen anybody address that. So Podesta's the one that gave them access. So there you have it. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the president being an idiot. And I will tell you, as I've said before, I'm a fan of his policies, and I think they've been good for the country. But, again, I think one of the things that you'll see in the Aspen, some of the audio you'll hear from that is, you know, does the United States want to be a leader in the world anymore? Do we want to retreat to Fortress America? If we don't want to retreat to Fortress America, then, you know, then we have to decide, how does that work? How does that work? And in particular, what we've done in Syria has been a disaster. So, and again, that's not a Republican invention too, right? Barack Obama, I'll tell you, one of the really interesting parts of the discussion were the UAE ambassadors involved in it, and I believe it centers on Syria, is at when they do the Q&A, the Saudi ambassador is in the audience. And he stands up and says, well, I'd like to make a statement, then I have a question. He said, relative to Iranian activity in the region, the election of 2016 was a watershed event. The Iranians, in no way, shape, or form, will do the things they did during the Obama administration, during the Trump administration. And anybody who doesn't understand that, and anybody who hasn't seen that, isn't paying attention. Pretty interesting little moment from the Saudi ambassador in the Q&A. So that's why I said it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Here's another one titled Ego. Mac, it's all his ego. No humility in this man. I have stopped watching and listening to mainstream media due to Trump fatigue. I'm afraid this will carry over to 2020 election with many of his supporters. I hope the Republicans consider a better candidate, or we may lose the country to what seems to be increasing support to a socialist agenda. Yeah, I think that the Democrats' problem is, I think the Democrats' problem is what is fanning the flames and getting the most attention is their socialist candidate out of the Bronx. She's on TV everywhere, right? With her socialist statements. Okay, so again, when you break down the electorate, right? You have what, 35% is hardcore Democrat, 30% hardcore Republican, and you have this 35% that is undecided, that elects a president. How that 35% falls, I can tell you this, right? Hillary Clinton was a pretty mainstream candidate, and that middle group split, right? Falling in certain states more to Donald Trump that got him elected. Okay. That middle block of voters, they're not socialists, and the Democrats know that. If that is the tone of the way they campaign, they know that they will lose. And Republicans are only too happy to see her take a marquee position. So when you have her, and then you have the increasingly scarce Speaker of the Minority Leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi, when you have those to put in front of the country, I think the Republicans like that. Okay, but I will say this: I mean, the president did not do himself any favors this week. But again, very much in keeping with the tradition of Bill Clinton, right? Don't look back. Don't say you made a mistake. Just continue to play it forward. You know, continue to, you know, give your own alternative version of what happened. And, you know, hope that there's another event that blows up and that we forget about this. And that's the way politics goes. But make no mistake, he made substantial, terrible mistakes in Helsinki. Make no mistake about that. They were gross, and then he continued to make them when he came back to the United States, like this insanity of turning over Americans to the Russians. Like come on. People listen to that, like he's, and you know, and so you see him in the press conference. It's a great offer. It's incredible. Like, are you stupid? Anyway, the Russians did target the Republicans and were unsuccessful. I thought that was what I said. The question is, do you believe that if the Russians had got the same time, so the Russian purpose when they put it up on the whiteboard is this, we have these two political parties, and again, that's why I want you to listen to Dan Coates. Dan Coates talks about what it was like to serve in back when deals got made, okay, how that worked, and then what it's like to serve today. Very interesting part of his interview. So the Russians lay this out on the dry erase board. These parties hate each other. They burn it down on each other all the time. Hell, they can't even cooperate in the face of somebody showing up at a baseball game. And but for his poor planning, would have probably killed about 20 congressmen. Right? Even events like that do not slow this shit down. That's how polarized and that's how uncivil the Americans have become. And much to our benefit as Russians, we have the media, right? The media has now become Jerry Springer on the left and the right. So they take the worst of this behavior and they display it for everybody on a nightly basis. I mean, does it get better than that? Yeah. All to serve their capitalist, lackey, profit-oriented goal. Not like us here in Russia who serve, Vladimir Putin's lofty goals. Anyhow, I don't know how I got sidetracked on that, comrade. Sorry about that. So all we're going to have to do is just play on the margin. We're just going to fan the flame a little bit, okay? And there's going to be two benefits. One, we'll make the flame a little bit higher, although given the amount of media in the United States, we're not sure exactly how much penetration our stories will have, our headlines will have, because it's just so much, okay? But maybe we can get something to go viral, and in that case, we can have an effect. Okay, and then the other benefit is once the Americans find out, we will introduce the Russian boogeyman into the equation. Okay, so yeah, we think this is a great operation. It can all be done, the majority of it from here in Moscow. We might have to open up some nodes where we'll have a physical presence. That way, in terms of identification of IPs and stuff like that, it's inside the continental United States, blah, 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 blah. But that'll be relatively small. Much of what the work we'll do from here. It's perfect, man. It's perfect. It's low risk. It's high. It's potentially high yield. And do you believe that in that operation where they're attempting to sow additional discontent, that if they penetrated the Republican email system and they had the Republican emails, do you believe they would not have used them because they wanted to see Hillary Clinton win? I think you mistake the point of the program. Do you think that the Russians thought that they could influence the election to get Donald Trump elected? Okay, they're cold-blooded, calculating people. No, that is not possible. Okay. However, in our long-term goal of destabilizing the United States and destabilizing Western Europe, we believe that we can make inroads there if we can be successful in our phishing expeditions relative to email, if you're familiar with phishing. All right. If we can, then we can throw it all in the street and we can make their lives much more difficult. I think that's kind of the full, and I do believe that if they would have penetrated the Republican email system and got the kind of stuff they got out of the Democratic email system from the Republicans. And what was amazing in whose interview was it? Chris Wallace's interview? So one of the things Putin says in the interview is, hey, look, we didn't make, nothing was made up in that information. All it was the truth. It was what those people were actually doing. That's all that happened. That stuff got publicized. You know? And I don't know, he didn't say we, but he said, whoever did that did not make anything up. It's just the truth about your corrupt system. So, anywho, not a good week for the democracy. That's why listening to Dan Coates will make you feel better. So, sit back, relax, good morning to you on a Friday. Chef's not going to be here. He's doing better. He'll be here next week. He wanted me to tell you that. He said, thank you, for everybody who sent an email and asked about him, and he misses being on the radio because it's part of his therapy. So, but he got wire brushed, just so you know. The chef got wire brushed. By moi. Yeah. Yeah. He's got to get with the program. If you're going to be disciplined relative to your eating habits and drinking, then be disciplined, okay? Because this is not the first time he's done this shit. Yeah, so he got wire brushed for it. Officially counseled. All right, more Ballmarine Radio. Dan Coates coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.